I invite your attention today to the book of Luke. I'm going to be reading from Luke chapter 12, verse 8 and 9. Luke 12, 8 and 9. Now, this is my subject today, and I hope you'll just pull up a chair there and sit and listen. I'm going to talk about something that needs to be talked about, and something that you need to hear, and a subject that needs to be dealt with. My subject today is believer's baptism. Believer's baptism. Now let's listen carefully and see what God says about this subject, believer's baptism. In Luke chapter 12, verse 8 and 9, the Master said, "Also I say unto you, that whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God." Paul the Apostle wrote in Romans 10, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus to be Lord, and believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Now what is it to confess Christ? Our Lord said, "Whosoever shall confess me before men." Paul said, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus to be Lord." Now what is it to confess Christ? Well, I brought a message on this subject several years ago, and I showed you four things that I believe are involved in confessing Christ. One of them is baptism, and I'm going to deal with that more fully today. But I put three others with it. There are four things that I pointed out that are involved in confessing Christ. Now, if thou shalt confess Jesus Christ to be Lord. Now, what is it to confess Christ? Well, first of all, it's to believe him in your heart. That's where the work takes place, first of all, before God. Here is where these matters are resolved before God, in the heart. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. God looks on the heart. He said God does not look on the outward countenance. He's not impressed with the outward duties and deeds of men. God looks on the heart. He says, "My son, give me your heart. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts." These are the things that condemn a man. You see, our Lord said, these religious people, they call me Lord with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And God looks on the heart. So this is where the work of confessing Christ is resolved before God. We believe the Word of God. We believe Christ. We believe the gospel. We believe in our hearts. That's right. In our spirits. Secondly, to confess Christ is to identify with the things of Christ. To be identified with the things of Christ. To be identified with his word is to love his word, to believe his word, to embrace his word, to study his word, to delight in his word. It's his word. And because it's his word, I want to be identified with it. Because I'm identified with him. It's to identify with his church. It's his church. It's the church which he purchased with his own blood. It's his body. And therefore, because it's his church and his body, then I want to be a part of his church. And a part of his body. And it's his people. He said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I loved you." I don't want a true believer, a man who confesses Christ, will be identified with God's people, wherever they are, whomever they are. Our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son and with his people. And it's a fellowship of kindred minds and kindred hearts. And we want to be identified with all that is of God. We want to stand up and be counted. I tell people wherever I go that I have a flag, an American flag on a 20-foot pole in my front yard that flies continuously, because that's the flag that is the banner and ensign of my nation, which I love. And I want everybody to know I love the United States of America. I thank God for this country. I thank God. And the more I travel in other countries, the more I thank God for this country and its freedoms and its blessings. And I want everybody to know that I strongly support this nation. And that's the way a believer is. David said, I was glad when they said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord. He said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in God's house than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. I want to be identified. So to confess Christ is, first of all, to confess him in your heart. And secondly, is to be identified right now in this life on this earth with that which is of God, the things of God, his word, his church, his people. Thirdly, to confess Christ is to walk before him and before the world in godliness, in truth. The scripture says, as you have therefore received Christ, so walk ye in him. Don't let us profess to believe on Christ and by our lives to deny him. Here's a man that is a boss, an employer. And he says he believes the gospel, and yet he mistreats his employees and doesn't treat them fairly or pay them well. That's denying Christ. Here's a workman, says he's a Christian, and yet he's a lazy workman and a thieving workman and a troublesome workman. That's denying Christ. Here's a husband that mistreats his wife. That's denying Christ. A wife that's not obedient to her husband and claims to be a Christian. That's denying Christ. Parents, children, integrity, honesty, the way we live, confesses Christ. And if we don't live in a way that will glorify Christ and in keeping with his word, we're denying Christ. We're denying by our action what we claim with our lips. And so to confess Christ is to confess him in your heart. It is to be identified with his people, with his word. And it's to walk in such a way that men see your good works and glorify your Father. You know, it says in the scripture that these people took note of the disciples that they'd been with Jesus. How'd they know they'd been with Jesus? They talked like he talked. They walked like he walked. They loved like he loved. They lived like he lived. They treated others like they want others to treat them. That's how you confess Christ. And then fourthly, to confess Christ is to follow him in believers' baptism. Our Lord gathered his disciples about him when, after he died on the cross for our sins, our substitute, our sin offering. And after he'd been buried and rose again, he gathered the 12 disciples about him before he ascended back to the Father. And he said to them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And he that believeth not shall be damned. He said to them, he said, all authority is given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. So our Lord commanded the disciples to go preach the gospel, make disciples, and baptize them. Now, I want to show you in my message today the privilege of baptism. It's a privilege. The importance of baptism. The significance of baptism. And the beauty of baptism. Now, why should a person be baptized? Well, here's reason number one. Our Lord Jesus Christ was baptized by immersion. That's right, the Master himself. The Lord Jesus Christ was baptized. Let me read it to you in Matthew 3, verse 13 through 17. Then cometh Jesus to Jordan, the Jordan River, unto John to be baptized of him. But John protested, and he said, I have need to be baptized of thee, In other words, you're so far above and beyond me and more excellent than I that I've got no right to baptize you. I should be the one being baptized. And Jesus answered and said to him, now listen, suffer it to be so. For thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. The Lord Jesus Christ came to John the Baptist and told him to baptize him, because he said, it's important that I fulfill all righteousness. What's he talking about there? Well, our Lord was born of woman, because you and I were born of woman. Those whom he represented were born of woman. Our Lord was born under the law. Why? Because we're born under the law. Our Lord was circumcised according to the law of Moses. Our Lord went to the temple. He was taken to the temple as a child according to the law of Moses. He kept the Passover and went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, kept the Sabbath day and the tithe and the tribute, and was baptized to fulfill all righteousness. You see, John was saying to the Lord Jesus, you're so far above me and more excellent than I that you should be baptizing me. But the commandment of the Father is upon all who repent and believe to be baptized. So Christ came to John. And he said, the commandment is upon my people and those whom I represent to be baptized. So to identify with them, I suffer to be so, to fulfill all righteousness. That's what our Lord was doing, fulfilling the will and the word and the commandment of his Father for his people. Everything that's required of us and demanded of us and commanded of us, Christ fulfilled. Everything. And I tell you, if there's no other reason to be baptized, this is enough. The Lord commanded it. That's why the Lord Jesus was circumcised. It was a commandment of God in the Old Testament. That's why he went to the synagogue. There was nothing preached there. They rejected him, but he went on the Sabbath day. It was commanded of God. And he came to this river to be baptized of John, because it was commanded of God. The baptism of repentance. And he was identified with his people in every way, in all points as we are, tempted, tried, yet without sin. All right, secondly, we confess our Lord and believers' baptism because our Lord commanded his disciples, his preachers, to go preach the gospel and to baptize people. That's what he said. You go, listen, Matthew 28, go and make disciples of all nations, and baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, to observe baptism, to observe the Lord's table, to observe worship, all of these things. In Mark 16:15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And that's what the disciples did. They did as they were commanded. Read the book of Acts. All the way through the book of Acts, they went everywhere preaching the gospel, preaching the gospel, preaching the gospel. And everywhere they went preaching the gospel, they baptized believers. At Pentecost, there were 3,000 baptized at one day. And everywhere they went and preached the gospel, people confessed Christ by following him in believers' baptism. That was our Lord's command. The Father commanded it, and the Savior himself was baptized. The Savior commanded it and told all of his preachers as they go preach the gospel, and men are become believers and are converted, to baptize. Now, thirdly, according to the Scriptures, only believers are to be baptized. We're not to baptize anyone that's not a believer. He that believeth and is baptized. Make disciples and then baptize them. We don't baptize them before they believe and before they're disciples. We make them disciples and then baptize them. They believe and then they're baptized. Baptism is not for infants. Baptism is not for anybody as a form or as a ceremony. Believers are to be baptized. Now listen carefully. Listen to our Lord in Matthew 28. Listen to the way he says this. He gathered his disciples about him. He said, now all authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples and baptize them and then teach them. Preach the gospel to them. They listen to the gospel. They believe the gospel. They're converted. Then they're baptized, confessing faith in Christ. And then you teach them. He said also in Mark chapter 16, he that believeth and is baptized. And listen to, I want you to listen to Acts chapter 8. Listen very carefully here now. Every one of you know this story. The Ethiopian eunuch had left Ethiopia and gone to Jerusalem to worship. And on his way back to Ethiopia, he was sitting in his chariot reading the Word of God, reading the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 53. He was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. By his stripes we're healed. You know, and I know, that's Christ, our substitute. And the Lord sent Philip to join that chariot. Philip was the preacher of the gospel. And Philip walked along beside the chariot, heard the man reading the scriptures. He said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" He said, "How can I except some man show me?" So Philip got up in the chariot and rode along with him, preaching to him the gospel. This man had never heard the gospel. Philip preached the gospel to him, the gospel of Christ, his substitutionary death. He took the scriptures and preached Christ. He died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried and rose again according to the scriptures. And as they rode along, the scripture says in Acts 8, the Ethiopian eunuch saw a lake or a river or a body of water. And he said, "Wait, here's water. What doth hinder me from being baptized?" And Philip said, do you know what Philip said? Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may be baptized." And the man answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So Philip said, "Stop the chariot." And they both went down into the water and he baptized. You see, this man is not, he's not ready to confess Christ until he knows Christ. He's not ready to be baptized until he believes. What was required of the eunuch? To believe. And all the way through the book of Acts, baptism always follows believing. It never comes before believing. It always follows believing. It's a confession of our faith. In Acts 18:8, it says, "Many of the Corinthians believed. And then they were baptized." Baptism for believers. And we're not to make a ceremony out of it or a beautiful form out of it or a tradition out of it or bring our infants to be baptized. They can't be baptized. They're not believers. I'm not teaching adult baptism. I'm teaching believers baptism. Children, I don't know what age, but children can believe. Paul said about Timothy, "From a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures that are able to make thee wise unto salvation." But certainly not infants. Certainly not infants of a day, few days old. It's plain from the Scriptures that he that believeth and is baptized. That the Ethiopian eunuch asked Philip, "May I be baptized?" He said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may. But not unless you believe." Now what this is, what I'm coming to now is so very important. Please listen to this. The mode of baptism in Scripture is always by total immersion in water. Only. There's no other baptism taught in the Word of God to confess Christ. Listen to Matthew 3. Now listen to it. Matthew 3:16. "And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And the heavens were open, and the Spirit of God descended upon him in the form of a dove." He came up out of the water. John 3:23, listen to this. "And John also was baptizing in Enon, near to Salem, because there was much water there." Baptism requires much water. Just like a burial requires much deep grave and ground. In Acts 8:38, talking about Philip baptizing the eunuch, he said, "See, here's water. What doth hinder me from being baptized?" And Philip said, "Well, you may if you believe on Christ with all your heart." He said, "I do." So they both went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, both of them, then Philip was taken away. The whole point is this. Now listen to me. The whole point is this. If you read Romans chapter 6, baptism represents a burial. A burial. The water is a grave. When a person is baptized, he's put under the water, out of sight. Like you bury your dead. You don't lay them on top of the ground. You don't sprinkle sand on them. You bury them beneath the ground and cover them over. And on the resurrection day, the grave is opened and they come out. And baptism is a burial. It's death, burial, and resurrection. The water is a grave. Listen to Romans 3. Will you listen to this? Verse 3. Romans 6, verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore, we are buried with Christ by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even we should walk in newness of life. Baptism is not declaring a doctrine. It's not declaring a denomination. It's not declaring I'm a Baptist. It's declaring that I believe. When I go down under that water, out of sight, buried, and come up out of that water, I'm saying that Jesus Christ died for my sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried in a grave, out of sight, for 3 days. And He arose. And when I'm baptized, I am saying that I confess that when He died, I died. When He was buried, I was buried. When He arose from the grave, I arose to walk in newness of life. It is declaring I am dead to this world. I am dead to the traditions of this world. I am dead to the dead works of this world. And I am buried with Christ. And I rise with Christ to walk in newness of life. Believer's baptism pictures two things. His death for me, burial and resurrection, my death to the world. And I'm burying this old man. And I'm rising to walk in newness of life. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. I'm not the same fella. I'm not walking the same direction. I'm not running with the same crowd. I'm saying by my baptism, I'm dead. That's what John the Baptist's baptism was, a baptism of repentance. And the people, the publicans and sinners and harlots, came to John to be baptized, justifying God, saying God's right when He says we're sinners and we deserve death. But the Pharisees and religious leaders wouldn't be baptized. Luke says they wouldn't submit to the baptism of John, denying the charges of God against them. But I'm not going to deny the charges of God against me. Baptism. For believers. And baptism is a burial. The water is a grave. And that's what the story is all about. You see that? That's so important. Romans 3. You write that down and study it again. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized unto His death? Therefore, we're buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of God, even we should walk in newness of life. Buried with Christ in baptism. All right, now fifthly, listen carefully. This is the last point. Baptism is the scriptural way to confess Christ before others. Didn't our Lord say, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before the angels of God, before the Father? Didn't Paul say we're to confess Christ? Well, this is the way people in the New Testament confessed faith in Christ. Listen to Acts. Let me read it to you from the Bible. Acts 2:41. Then they that gladly received His word were baptized. Acts 8:12. When they believed Philip down in Samaria, preaching the name of Jesus Christ, when they believed, they were baptized. Acts 9:18. When Saul received his sight, he arose and was baptized. Acts 16:14, Lydia listened to the things spoken by Paul and was baptized. That's what it says all the way through the book of Acts. The Philippian jailer was baptized. Cornelius was baptized. The Ethiopian eunuch was baptized. Everywhere these men went, these people believed the gospel, and they were baptized confessing Christ. We have no scripture commanding us to walk to the front of the church. It doesn't say when they gladly received his word, they walked to the front of the church and shook hands with the preacher or signed a card. They were baptized. We have no commandment in scripture to shake hands with anybody or go to an inquiry room or to an altar. It doesn't say, and when they believed Philip preaching the gospel, they went to an inquiry room. No, they were baptized, confessing Christ. Is baptism essential to salvation? No, it's Christ that saves, not the waters of baptism. But we follow our Lord in baptism out of obedience to his word and out of a privilege and a joy to confess our Lord. You see, as far as baptism being essential to salvation, there are many commandments of Christ which are not essential to my salvation, my redemption, but they're precious to me because they're the word of my Lord. He commands us to love one another. Well, I'm not saved because I love somebody. I love somebody because I'm saved. He commands us to be baptized. I'm not saved because I'm baptized. I'm baptized because I'm saved. And I know there are people today who make too little of baptism. There's some who make too much of baptism. It becomes a work. But the scriptures are clear on it. It's a confession of his death, burial and resurrection, and my death and burial and resurrection to walk in newness of life.